Open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to be looking at verses 16 through 26. 'Not everything that I talk about is pleasant. Here, some things depends on where everybody is and how you think of things. Some things you may find more unpleasant than others, and some more difficult than others. But hopefully, this morning, the picture will not be too difficult. And I was thinking back as I prepared this message to when I was a boy. I lived on a farm in northern BC. Considered northern BC at that time, it was actually a lot more north of there, but off of Highway 16, it was in the sticks, as Dad used to say in those days. And we had no electricity, and we had no indoor plumbing. We had a couple of things in our house that most people, or certainly many people today in our Western society, would find utterly repulsive. But it was necessary where we lived. And one was worse than the other, and that one was behind a curtain. My brother Hugh knows what I'm talking about. The other was in the pantry, which had a door that could be closed. That particular one we called the slop bucket. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you would too. Everything that went in there, dishwater, peelings, leftover food, used toothpaste, etc., all went in that bucket. It was a dirty bucket. And the one behind the curtain was even dirtier. The only time they came out was when they were being carried out to dump them. And you could call them vessels of dishonor. They were not displayed like fine china or a vase full of flowers or nicely polished pianos or anything like that, but they were kept for the most part and as much as possible out of sight. They were dishonorable vessels. And all these vessels had a purpose and a function, but not all of them had honorable places in the house, nor were they the kind of thing that would last, that would be passed on to future generations. Only vessels fit for honor were carefully displayed and preserved. And the Bible uses this comparison regarding the church. The question to think about today is, are you an honorable vessel? Are you a vessel fit for the Master? The title of our message today is A Vessel Fit for the Master. Let's look at 2 Timothy then. We're backing up a bit from last week. We're going back into last week a bit just to bring in the context here. So starting at verse 16, chapter 2 of 2 Timothy. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat us doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor, and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the Master's use, and prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So as I mentioned earlier, today we're backing up a bit to get the full context of this passage. Last week we looked at how Christians need to stay focused on the truth. We saw that we are not to argue. We are to study God's Word. We are to avoid foolish conversation. We are to know where we stand. And we are to avoid sin. Now, this week we are reminded who we are as Christians and what we are to be. Each one of us who names the name of Christ as our Savior is to be a vessel fit for our Master, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. To be a vessel fit for the Master, you need to identify the things that must be avoided as well as the things you should be doing. And so, our title today is A Vessel Fit for the Master. And our headings today, I only have three headings today. Number one, a great house. Number two, purge yourself. Number three, how to purge. Look at verse 20, which is where our message is starting today. The previous verses are brought in today because they give us the context as we get farther on of what we are to shun. Okay? There were certain teachers that had come in who were teaching falsehood, and one of them was that the resurrection was past, and that has actually happened even in modern times. That Christ has returned. Others have taught that Christ has returned, and they're teaching that these things are past, that it's over with, that anybody that hasn't already had this experience is too late. There's all kinds of stuff that comes in, and the warning is to avoid these things. It's a problem. Okay. Now, looking at verse 20, it says, in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. This is speaking of the church. Remember that this letter was to a pastor, but it applies to everybody. But he was writing specifically to Timothy, a young pastor. A church is compared to a great house. And a great house is not just a little bungalow like most of us live in, but it is a big house. It's the house of a wealthy person, like a mansion, a great house. The Bible says that the church is built on the foundation of Jesus Christ and is made up of living stones. It's not a physical building, but it's compared to one. A great house has in it vessels or containers. That's what a vessel is. A vessel is a container. Something that something goes into. Not only of gold and silver, which last, or fine china perhaps, but also vessels of wood and earth. What it means by vessels of wood and earth are vessels that wear out or decay or get burned up. They're used temporarily. They're just temporary. They're not meant to last. And they, in fact, they won't last. These vessels of earth and wood, they won't last. They're just temporary. They've got a use, but they decay and wear out. Some are honorable, and what it means, this honorable here means, is they're worthy of display. Okay? They're worthy of display. The others are dishonorable. It doesn't mean necessarily that dishonorable and honorable, we're not talking about their use. Dishonorable means it's something you want. You don't want to be seen. It's something that you hide. It's not something put out in plain view where everybody can see it. Okay? It's not something that you can be proud of. It's just something that's there. And they're kept out of sight until they're discarded. This is quite a picture of the church. Honorable and dishonorable. Okay? And you need to remember yourself as a person in the church that you're on display. You're being watched. Very angels are watching. You think, oh, I can do this. This doesn't matter. Nobody can see me. God sees you. The angels see you. The Bible mentions a great cloud of witnesses. People that are watching. Beings that are watching. Now, in the church, there are those who are dishonorable. That is, these are rebellious and unsaved, unrepentant hypocrites, whom the Bible calls vessels of wrath, fitted for destruction in Romans 9:22. This is not talking specifically about people that are just not saved. There's everybody in their life. There's a time in everybody's life when they're not saved. And if they don't get saved by the end of their life, they're in big trouble. Okay? Everybody needs to put their faith in Jesus Christ to take them into eternity. Otherwise, they go without Jesus Christ into eternity. That's the choice that everybody has to make. But most specifically here is talking about hypocrites. Unrepentant hypocrites. Whom the Bible calls vessels of wrath fitted for destruction. Then there are those in the church who are honorable, who have truly repented, who have turned from their sins by faith to Jesus Christ for salvation, whom the Bible calls vessels of mercy, on whom God makes known the riches of His glory. Those two verses, Romans 9:22 and Romans 9:23, very important verses. The one, let's turn to them, Romans 9:22, speaks of the dishonorable. Together they have these two verses. Romans 9:22, what if God, willing to show His wrath, to make His power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? So they're there. And they're there for a while because God is merciful. He's waiting. He's patient. Okay? But they're in the condition that they are in, they're vessels of wrath fitted for destruction. Verse 23, and that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy, which He had afore prepared unto glory. So there are vessels of mercy, those whom God is going to pour on them His glory, those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ, the honorable vessels. This is what you have in the church. Dishonorable and honorable vessels. This brings us to this next section. Purge yourself. Verse 21. He started out by saying, this is what's going on. This is what you have in this great house, this church. Therefore, he says, If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. You purge yourself from these. So who are these? So these are the ones mentioned in verses 16 to 18. These are false teachers, deniers, and prideful people who stand against true biblical teaching. Their word is vain, devoid of value, useless babbling that will just get worse if given an ear. Purge yourself from these. This is very important. Don't listen. Don't think it's okay, as some do, to sit at home and miss church if you just turn the TV on and listen to some of these television evangelists. You can end up in worse trouble than if you just sleep in. Because they're doing damage. Their word is vain and devoid of value. Their word eats like a canker. And today, think of a description that we would really understand today is like gangrene. It just keeps spreading if it isn't cut out. How many people here, everybody knows what gangrene is, right? It's awful. You don't want that. And it has to be amputated. That's the only way you can get rid of it. Has to be stopped. Those who present false doctrines, whether from a pulpit or in the general congregation, should be named, just like Hymenaeus and Philetus. Paul didn't just write these two names in here just out of spite, just because he was mad at these guys. This is an example to be followed. When there's false teaching, when you know of false teaching, it needs to be pointed out. The false teachers need to be named. You need to warn people. Don't pay attention to those people because their teaching is wrong and it's going to get you into trouble. Their doctrine is harmful and it overthrows the faith of some who have not yet trusted in Christ. Do you know that people can have faith and not be saved? I'm kind of looking here to see if anybody's paying attention this morning. Do you believe that? You can have faith and not be saved? Yeah. Yeah. It means you believe something, but you haven't taken the step of actually putting your faith in somebody. You know? I think back to when I was a little kid. Perfect example. On the roof of the plant shed. Remember the plant shed here? Had a lighting plant in there. As a little kid, a little bit older than Levi, maybe not much older, I could climb up there on there. There's a rose trellis on that. And I could get onto that roof. But it was different trying to get down because there was an overhang, you see. And when you're trying to go down and you can't see the wall, your little kid all of a sudden, holy smokes, look at that. And my dad came along and he's telling me to jump off and he'll catch me. And I had faith that my dad could catch me. I really had faith he would catch me, but I wouldn't do it, even though I knew my dad could catch me. It took a bit more convincing before I finally decided I could take that leap. Because I was afraid. And there's lots of people like that in the church that have faith. They know it's true. They're aware that it's true. But they're not quite ready to let go and say, okay, I'm trusting you for my life. You know, that's why we like to use the term faith and trust. They can be used as synonyms. But there's a little bit of a difference when I use it that way, because you have the faith, you know it's true, and you believe it's true, but you got to put that in, you see, trust. And this is the problem with this harmful doctrine, is that it can actually overthrow the faith of some before they've actually been fully converted and actually put that faith in Jesus Christ. Trusted Him. That's harmful. And those who do that, by the way, will answer. They're vessels of wrath fitted for destruction. Special wrath. Jesus warned about those who snatch away the faith of some. They're vessels of dishonor slated for destruction on their way to God's garbage dump, which is the lake of fire. Those who deny the truth are vessels of dishonor. Again, especially beware of those men such as Hymenaeus and Philetus, who are comparable to wooden and earthen vessels and are dishonorable ones. Purge yourself from their defiling company and polluting principles. Stay away from their heresies. Do not allow yourself to be carried away with the errors of such wicked men. And do not be drawn aside by them into immoral practices, but stand fast in the faith and depart from iniquity. There's not anything more said about these guys, but these were a couple of fellows that mentioned in previous passages that Paul said had departed from the faith. They were people who were opposing Paul's teaching. They were speaking against it, and one of the things they were saying was that the resurrection of the just had already passed, but it was too late. And there was a lot of teaching that went on. There were others who were teaching, not necessarily these two, but who were teaching that the spiritual and the physical were separate. They're the Gnostics, that you could do it physically, you could do whatever you liked as long as you were spiritually pure. And isn't that a problem? Because the spirit is supposed to be ruling the body, not the other way around. But now, there's not much mention about Hymenaeus and Philetus, other than what Paul wrote here, that they were going against the truth. And there's others today. We've got people on television like Benny Hinn. And I'll speak against Benny Hinn. He was just interviewed not that long ago, and he was trying to justify, and he thought he was perfectly, you know, he figured he could just do the smoke and mirrors thing on people. He's a phony. He's a real phony. He's doing fake healings. He's been exposed, but he keeps on doing it. He flies around in a private jet and lives in a mansion and drives extremely fancy cars. There's all kinds of people again. And there's people who have been preaching for years, and they started out preaching something that is true, and they preach solidly, 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 and then they start erring. Avoid them, shun them. Billy Graham. Prime example. A lot of people over the years have almost idolized Billy Graham, but he's gone way off course. Way off course. He's starting to accept, he's right into ecumenism in a huge way. Not just ecumenism in the Christian church, but all religions. And that's unscriptural. So shun that, avoid that, purge yourself from that. Don't get carried away by that. It doesn't mean, by the way, that all these people are unsaved. It means that they err. But if they may not even be saved. You have another question?
Who's the one on Tammy? Whose wife was Tammy Faye?
Oh, Jim Baker. Yeah, there's another one. Yep, definitely. Another one. There's lots of these out there, and stay away from them. Avoid them. And especially avoid their doctrine. The doctrine is the problem. There's a promise for those who purge themselves from false doctrine. This is a promise here. The promise is, listen to this, read it again. Verse 21. If, this is a promise. If a man, therefore, man or woman, man, by the way, is no gender in the kingdom of God. If a man therefore purges himself from these false teachers, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared under every good work. So purge yourself from all these dishonorable things. It's a promise there. Cut out this falsehood and error in your life. Okay, how? That's the next question. How? Well, it's just simple. It's really simple. I just won't listen to these people. But how do you know that they're wrong? How do you know who you shouldn't be listening to? There's lots of teachers, and it can be very subtle. And there's some that I've listened to in the past who have been accurate. And then down the line, they've changed course. It happens a lot more than you might think. That is why you need to pay attention here. Just because somebody's standing here and teaching doesn't mean that they're teaching the truth. I could stand here and say anything if nobody calls me on it. Okay, so how? How do you purge yourself of this stuff? Well, look at verses 22 to 26. We're not going to read them again, but these are where the answers, this is where the answers comes from. First of all, flee youthful lusts. Don't let the body rule you. Don't let your body rule you. So the things of youth, the things that are tempting, things like what some of the things that got all those people involved in that riot in Vancouver, there was a handful of people started that. There's a whole lot of people got involved in that. Why? Because it appealed to them. It was fun. The combination of alcohol and excitement and adrenaline and testosterone. Youthful testosterone, and it just all went nuts and turned into a crazy mess. It's not the youthful lusts aren't just the sexual desire. It's everything to do with the youthfulness and the strength, the physical strength in youth. It's a whole lot of things that excite you, that appeal to the flesh. Flee those things. Don't let them rule you, in other words. There's certain things, desires and drives that every human being has, or most human beings have, that have their use in the right place. But flee youthful lust that would rule your life. Secondly, follow righteousness and faith and charity, which is unconditional love, and peace with those who are truly born again believers, having a pure heart. Okay? And the note here, it's only possible to have a pure heart if you trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior and had your heart changed by Him. Follow righteousness. You do that by getting to the Word of God, prayerfully reading the Word of God. And faith, same thing. The Word of God and prayer and fellowshipping together in the church, where you're building one another up. And unconditional love. That's what charity means. Unconditional love and peace. This is with all those who are truly born again believers, having a pure heart. That's those around you. That's why you need to gather together with those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. There's strength in the group. There's weakness in not being here. Do you know that the best way to lose your faith is to stop coming to church? Period. Even if you read your Bible in prayer, they'll become less important to you over time if you stop coming to church. All three are important. All three. Come as much as you can. Avoid foolish and ignorant speculation, knowing that their sole purpose is to pick a fight. Okay, this is striving, speculation, arguing. Avoid foolish questions, whose sole purpose is to pick a fight. There are people who like to fight, and they like to say something that we say to get a rise out of others, because they like a debate, but it's not really a debate, it's a fight. I know people like that. There's a big difference between an honest question and foolish and ignorant speculation. Okay? It's sometimes said that the only stupid question is the one that doesn't get asked. And I say that myself. And somebody says, hey, I used to get this at work all the time. Dave, I got a stupid question. You know, they don't know how to deal with this particular piece of equipment. And they figure it's really silly, but they don't want to make a mistake, so they come and ask me a question. Hey, Dave, I got a stupid question. And I say, look, the only stupid question is the one that doesn't get asked. Because it's not stupid. If you want to do something right and you don't want to get it wrong and you don't know how, it's smart to ask a question. And it's right and good to ask an honest question for the purpose of being educated and edified. But foolish and ignorant questions are designed to cause a quarrel. Avoid these questions and don't get sucked in by them. When people start bringing up questions, you get people sometimes, you knock on your door, or people will be at your door. And they'll be trying to pick a quarrel with you at the door. Don't get sucked into it. Be firm. And let them know you're not going to debate with them, because they're looking to create a quarrel to cast doubt on what you believe. Purge yourself from them. I'm not saying you have to just slam a door on people's face. But if that's what you need to do to avoid getting sucked into a foolish argument, do it. It's better. Yeah, sometimes you have to do it. And it's better to do it than to get sucked into foolish arguments. And it can cause a lot of damage in the church. I've seen it. And it comes again, it's almost exactly the same thing, but it's mentioned here more than once. Do not quarrel. Do not strive. That's what it means. Do not quarrel. The servant of the Lord must not quarrel. And this letter was originally to a pastor, to Timothy, but it applies to every Christian, which is why it's included in our Bible. If you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, you are a servant of the Lord. Okay, pastors aren't the only ones who are servants of the Lord. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're a servant of the Lord. And be gentle to everyone. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. You know that questions can come up, and sometimes one of the things that people do, and this is one of these questions we're talking about, these foolish and ignorant questions, they can become foolish and ignorant questions when somebody who's not necessarily a bad person even, but somebody in the church asks a question and they already know the answer. You ever run into people like that ask a question and they already know an answer, already have the answer? Yeah, there's lots of people who ask a question and they already have the answer. They're looking for affirmation or to feel smarter than somebody else. And don't get sucked into that. When you find out that's going on, just let it go. Don't try to change somebody's mind. That's called quarreling. Just let it go. Be gentle. Okay? You can tell somebody, you can give somebody the right answer. But unless they're hard of hearing, you don't need to say it again. Okay? If they don't get it, let it go. be apt to teach. That apt means have the ability. And if you don't have the ability, get the ability. Be apt to teach. God might not call you to be a preacher or a Sunday school teacher, but He does call you to make disciples, which means you're apt, you're equipped to teach. You have a friend? If you have a friend, you don't even realize you're doing it, but you're teaching each other. You're learning from one another as you go along. Be apt to teach. Have the ability to teach the truth. You have to know what the truth is. You need to study the Word of God. There's someone whom God wants you to teach. And this takes us back again to verse 15, which says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Prayerfully study your Bible. Be patient. Don't just be a teacher, but be a patient teacher. Remember where you came from. Remember how much God has done for you. You know, I think back now. Boy, it just astonishes me sometimes. I think back to 20 years ago. And I was saved long before that. But I remember 20 years ago thinking how much I knew. How good a Christian I was compared to everybody else. And I was in this, and there's all these new believers around me. I'm pretty good. I really know this stuff. I should be doing this. Right? Well, maybe that's why I had to wait another 20 years before God decided finally He might be able to use me as a preacher, because I knew too much back then. Prayerfully study your Bible and learn to be patient and learn not to be a smart aleck. Recognize that you don't know everything. And that the people that are around you don't know everything, but that God didn't hold that against you. Don't you hold that against anybody else. God works with everybody differently. And you know, when you see faults in another person that maybe God has already dealt with in your life, maybe you have the same faults, and you're kind of going, God, but how come he's, look what he's doing, and you want to put your finger on that person and say, hey, God's dealing with them with other things. Just stick to the truth and be patient and be gentle. Stick to the truth. Learn to teach, but be patient. Be gentle. Remember where you came from. Remember how patient God's been with you. I think about that and think about the way I was 20 years ago. Smart aleck. That's what I was. Thought I knew it all. God has been very good to me. He's been very patient with me. Don't try to change somebody, but teach patiently, meekly correcting those who are in opposition to the truth. Meekly correcting. In other words, not coming along and, oh, you're just stupid, you're crazy, don't you get it, on and on and on and on, but just, no, this is the truth. How do you know? Because that's what the Bible says. Oh, but you're wrong. No, I'm not. Well, just let it go. You told them already, meekly, gently. Don't try to change somebody. Let God do that work. But meekly correct those. Tell them the truth. Those who are in opposition to the truth. That's what I try to do when I've got these people that come to my door. Is tell them the truth. You know, that's no. If they tell me something that directly contradicts the Word of God, I'll say, no, that's not what the Bible says. This is what the Bible says. But I'm not going to get into a fight with them. Let God do that work. The idea of what you're hoping to do, when you pick a fight, people get going, and boy, they're ready to go at it, but you just let it go, and it's... Our word here tells us that perhaps God will soften their hearts and lead them to repentance and recognition of the truth, so that they may perhaps escape from the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by his will, or at his will. what he's saying here is that there are a lot of people, and the people that oppose the truth are captives. Okay? They're captives, and the devil just got them like puppets on a string. And he's just at his will, moving them around at his will. And you start trying to fight, pick a fight with them, who are you fighting? Who are you fighting? Satan, yes. The Bible says our battle is not against flesh and blood. So, don't try to change somebody, but teach patiently, quietly, meekly correcting those who are in opposition to the truth, to the end, that God might soften their hearts and lead them to repentance and recognition of the truth. You can't make them escape. You can't make them change. God has to do it. Okay? You can tell them the truth and let God do His work. God says His word powerful. Okay? Their hearts may be too hard. They may have already thrown away that opportunity, but that's not for you to decide. You can't force someone to repent. You can't force someone to change his mind. You can't turn a hardened or hard-hearted unbeliever into a believer. You can't do that. But gently and prayerfully sharing the truth and correcting error under the direction of the Holy Spirit does lead men into repentance and truth, and even leads unbelievers to a saving faith in Jesus Christ. As you follow through these steps, you're purging yourself from the things that are dishonorable in your life. And you're being made a vessel fit for the Master, prepared unto every good work. As a child of God, you've been given everything. You believe that? Do I hear amen?
Amen.
Yes. According to John 1, 12 and 13, since you trusted Jesus Christ to save you from the penalty of death and give you eternal life, you were given the right to be called a child of God. Isn't that something? You were born, not adopted. You were born again into the family of God. You're not adopted into God's family. There's an adoption. That's your inheritance that's coming when you meet Jesus. But you were born again. Born. There's a big difference between born and adopted, isn't there? You're born into the family of God. You're given the right to be called a child of God because you were born into His family. This was not by anything in the physical realm. It's not by anything that man does. This was by the will of God. It was God's will for this to happen. You put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. God just did that work right now. You're born again. You're born. That can't be undone. Hey, let me ask you a question. You're born as a human being. Can you become unhuman? Oh, you're born as a human being, you're human, right? Oh dear, look at that poor person, they're turning into a dog. No. You're born as a human, you're born into a human family, you're human. You're born into the family of God, you're in His family. It can't be undone. It's done. Well, we won't get into that today. You're born into the family of God. And you're His own child by this new birth. You think about that. God has miraculously cleaned you up and made you His own child by the new birth. Now, since God has done so much for you, the Bible tells us that it's only right to be a vessel of honor, fit for the Master unto good works. And this is your reasonable service. It is your privilege. It's not something that's unfortunate that you have to put up with. This is a privilege that you have. 1 John 3 verse 1 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Wow. "Therefore purge yourself from the things and teaching that is false and dishonorable, and be a vessel fit for the Master, who is your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Amen. Let's stand for prayer.